Obviously, I want to do one of those different topics sometime, you know, but obviously they watch me and what I do, and I do a lot of service. So my last four workshops have been about service. So maybe one time they ask me to do something a little wild and crazy, and I'll get a chance to, you know, do that. But right now this is what I get, you know, and I'm okay with that. My clean date is October 6th, 1999. You know, I'm here to report I didn't come here to stop using drugs. I came here because I didn't want to feel the way I felt October the 5th of 1999. You people told me I'd never have to feel like that again. And I'm here to report I haven't felt that way, even through the trials and tribulations of life showing up for itself, you know. And now I get a chance to show up for life, you know. And we're going to talk about the group today, but I just want to share about where I'm at right now. This is my first convention this is my 14th in a row, but this is my first convention without my original sponsor. He died in July, and my mother died in my arms a couple weeks later, you know. So it's been a trying little last 6 months and all, you know. My sponsor... First man that I ever was able to tell I love you to, you know, he was a big part of my life for 13 years, you know. It devastated me when he passed away, but I got through that thanks to the help of you people. And the group was very instrumental why I'm bringing that up, because when he passed, you know, my home group especially, everybody was on the phone coming. And when my mother passed, when they came to my house, and got her body, because my mother, I moved her in, she was diagnosed, and March of 2011 with stage 4 cancer. They said she lived 2 weeks, and needless to say, she enjoyed her life. She lived for 17 more months. In January of 2012, she started traveling, talking about Kay and all these people. And these people have been dead for like 40 years. And they said she had 3 days to live. And needless to say, on the third day, she sat up and she said, "Bradley, where you been?" You know. And so I was able to take her on some trips and do some things with her. And you know, I shared about it constantly at my home group and things like that, because I needed to get better with the situation. All the step work, all that didn't make any difference, you know. It was about feeling what I had to feel. They tell us we got to feel, then we deal, then we begin to heal in this process. And that's exactly how it had to go for me. This is going to be some closure, because my mother asked me to spread her ashes at sea. And so I'm going up to Lewes, Delaware, and going across on the ferry and spread her ashes. And she also said, take a little valve of her ashes, go up to Atlantic City, to her favorite, to the Hilton. Yeah. She said, find a place they can't sweep or vacuum and spread her ashes, and she'll be there. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm heading up after the convention, y'all. You know, and see, that's how good life is. We are able to show up. My home group is NA and LA. We've been around, we're coming up on 25 years in June. It's in Alexandria, Virginia, 1108 Jefferson Street. If you're ever in Alexandria, please come down and visit us. We are a multiple meeting. We do step tradition and open discussion, you know. So we try and bring in, you know, everybody, you know, all is inclusive with us. You know, our job is to bring people in, not to send them out. So, and to get more to this topic, you know, and I love service, and I've been in service. Well, I got a sponsor when I had 3 days clean. I was in service at 8 days clean, and I went to meetings every day for my first 5.5 years, because when I came in, they used to always say, you don't even know if you want to stay for your first 5 years. And like I said, I don't know if I wanted to stay, but I didn't want to hurt no more. You know? So I stayed. I raised a family. I full-time job, the whole nine yards. Sometimes there's some people in here that can contest. I would pull a 26-foot truck up to a meeting with the guys in the truck because I wanted to get to the recovery process. See, the reason that being clean wasn't enough for me because getting high was never enough. So what had to happen, I had to have an internal change inside. My biggest problems was relationships with others. So the group became a very important entity in my life, you know. What had happened, my first identification with the group actually was with my home group, was a guy that I had met 2 years prior, and he was there. And I don't remember nothing about the meeting or anything like that, but I saw somebody who I could connect with, you know. When I was coming out of the facility, I can remember the young lady that came in with H&I to bring the meeting in. I knew her from the streets, and I used to chase her, her cousin, and her friend, right? Didn't get with none of them, but that had nothing to do with it, right? You know? So when I saw her up there, you know, and I saw all the women running up, getting her number, and all, I said, oh, this might be my chance, right? That lady gave me the best help that anybody could ever gave me. Because when I walked up to her and I said, so-and-so, let me get your number, she said, Bradley, what you need to do is get with some men and learn how to become a man. Yeah, and I thank her for that today. I saw her yesterday, and we were talking about that. And, you know, life has just been real good since being here. So I'm going to talk about the group, and I always bring the literature with me because my mind is not as sharp. I'm about to turn 55, y'all. I know I still look 25. Yeah, but I want to read something that's very important because and it has to do with the group. And it talks about when two or more addicts come together to help each other stay clean, they may form a Narcotics Anonymous group. Here are 6 points based on our traditions which describe an NA group. 1 is all members of a group are drug addicts, and all drug addicts are eligible for membership. 2, as a group, they are self-supporting. 3, as a group, their single goal is to help addicts recover through application of the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. 4, as a group, they have no affiliation outside of Narcotics Anonymous. 5, as a group, they express no opinion on outside issues. And 6, as a group, their public relations policy is based on attraction and rather than promotion. And this comes from a guide to local service. When I first got here, we started off with, you know, the group booklets and things like that. But it's very interesting. Okay. Also, Narcotics Anonymous groups cannot be all things to all people and still provide the initial identification drug addicts need to find their way to recovery. Some groups host single weekly meetings, others host numbers of meetings each week. The quality of an NA meeting is directly dependent on the strength and solidarity of the NA group which sponsors it. NA groups, I'm going to say it again, NA groups, not NA meetings, are the foundation of the NA service structure. Now, my home group, we do traditions and we do the steps and things like that. Because, see, the steps were made so I could get better with me. The traditions were put in place so I could get better with you. I told you I had problems with identifying with people when I got here. So my biggest thing, see, I'm one of them addicts. I worked throughout my addiction. Yeah, I was probably the worst worker there. I thought I was the best, you know. Because I can remember at the end when my mother put me out of her house. I can remember the job that I was on told me my job performance was so poor, I couldn't come back to work without a doctor's excuse. You know, I remember that. And I remember, you know, sharing with my group that, you know, I was having a lot of problems and, you know, at work, you know, with my mother, things like that. You know how we whine and cry. That's what I was doing because it was always poor me, you know. I never looked at the part I played. And my sponsor used to say them little silly things like, you know, situations in life may never change. It's for you to get better with the situation. Well, I'm here to report where you heard my mother died in my arms. She lived with me for 17 months. The job I stayed on for 17 years, right? And the irony to that is I'm a guy who's been locked up over 30-something times, and the owner of that company was a retired police officer. So he saw something in me, that he saw the change, you know, that happens in Narcotics Anonymous, right? So the reason I talk about that is simply because he had four sons that were within 4 years or 5 years of my age, and he made me the manager of that company. So it caused a lot of diversity. I mean, not a lot of diversity, a lot of conflict. You know, they worried about what I'm making, what I'm doing, you know, those type of things. But I was able to get through it because I went to my group and I raised my hand and I shared about where I was and how I felt, you know. Because sometimes they had me feeling lower than the footprint on the job. And see, my story goes back to that, you know, as a young child, you know, I used my mother used to say, Bradley, come in and eat dinner. And I'd say, don't call me Bradley, call me Irving. Irving was my best friend. Irving had a mother and a father that lived in the same house. You know, his father bought new cars every few years. I was born in Clarksburg, West Virginia. My mother lived in Northeast D.C. I was moved back and forth, you know, and I was real confused. So at 8 years old, I got involved with the police. I used to steal money out of teachers' purses, you know, to buy candy. And it was for the purpose to give to all y'all so y'all would like. See, what I'm talking about is the way I would compare my insides to other people's outsides. So when I got with my the home group, and I told you I went to meetings every day for my first 5.5 years. I still go to meetings regularly. I just had surgery last month. So this is new territory for me also, right? Not going to meetings, you know, as much, but I still try and do at least 4 or 5 a week, you know. And I'm not here to say meetings keep us clean and serene, but meetings are a place where we can go, where we can find out what to do and what not to do. And it talked about it in here, about how the group is that vessel to carry the message, and it's dependent on how they carry it, who it's going to touch and who it's going to receive it, you know. It's all in the presentation. That's why I love my home group. You know, we do a little bit of everything, the open, the traditions and everything, and we've been a steady group. And, you know, I go to meetings everywhere. I was in Thornton, Colorado recently and went. I went down to Esmeralda, Florida. I travel, you know, pretty often, and I try and catch meetings where I go. And so I get to see the diversity of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and how meetings are done. Each group is autonomous, but the one thing we got to understand, that doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want to do, you know. Some of our biggest mistakes have been made in the name of a group conscience, you know. And what happens is if our group members are not solid in their recovery, then the group suffers, right? So what we have to do and what we do at our home group before we elect people into positions, we give them this book to go home and read your service position. Don't do it how Bradley wanted it. Don't do it how Roger wanted it. Do it how Narcotics Anonymous does it. And what comes through that, you get more informed, or at least people who can realize and understand how this process really works. You know, I talk about my home group a lot because, you know, it's my favorite. But I go to groups, like I say, all over, and I've had some diversity, you know, some adversity. I'm sorry, I keep saying diversity. I had some adversity. You know, I was at a group one time where the group held the money, you know, and then they had the audacity to open up a group conscience in a facility to what to do with the money. And, of course, they said, let's give it to the facility. So, of course, I raised my hand and quoted the literature and everything and all. And the guy, and, you know, this was a few years ago, and the guy came up to me after the meeting, and at that time he had, like, 23 years, and I think, it was about 10 years ago maybe or 9 years ago, and he said, well, Bradley, what you need to do is allow the group to be wrong. And I said, no, what I need to do is inform you how Narcotics Anonymous does it, you know. And then I had to leave that alone because, you know, I carry other people's stuff. I don't know about y'all. And that bothered me. You know, it really did. So as I, you know, since then, that group has gotten a little bit better. And, you know, and I've gotten better with the group. I don't go there very often, though, because, you know, I have to think about my spirit, you know, and you know, if it's going to detract from my spirit, then I don't need to be at that group, you know. It's just that simple. We have different kinds of meetings, of course, and I'm going to try and cover everything in my short time up here. You know, we have the open meeting, you know, where anybody can come. We have closed meetings for addicts only. We have Q&As, which is question and answer. We have step study meetings. We have, I lost my train of thought, tradition meetings, all different meetings. But see, it's not so much important about the meeting, it's about the group, because the group is our most powerful vehicle. And what happens is our group is our voice when we go to area and the region and things like that. The group has a lot to do with what we're doing right now, you know, through our contributions and things of that nature and keeping the process, you know, moving right on along. The one thing about the groups, and I've run into this also, I was at an anniversary that we use and make sure we stay with the Narcotics Anonymous literature. Very, very important that we don't send a mixed message to the newcomer to allow him to understand what we are about, you know. Once again, I go back to how powerful the group is, and I'm trying to think now, got me. We have, I'm going to talk about the service position. I'm trying to cover a lot in a short period of time, and it's sort of impossible. We have our group officers, trusted servants, you know. We have a secretary, sometimes known as the chairperson, that conducts the business of the group. You know, now it's changed a little bit. You know, we actually, the secretary now disperses a lot of stuff, the key tags, you know. But it used to be that they handled all the affairs. We also have the treasurer that's responsible for the money. I know in our group, and it's on y'all how you do yours, we have policy. And so we have 23 things on our group policy, you know, and every 6 months we do a review of those policies and see if we are inviting more addicts in or are we turning people away. And, you know, sometimes there's some things that need to change. You know, it's just that simple. And I'm sort of resistant to change at times. But thank God for the group conscience, you know. And I've batted down a few things. I've had a few words with people, you know, in the home group. And they outvoted me. But the best thing about it is time will tell the truth. And we're understanding. See, we have traditions in place, not saying that things are going to go wrong, but they're in place so it's less likely that things can go wrong if we follow them. That's why they're not negotiable, you know. And so then after we have the treasurer, we have the GSR, who is our mouthpiece, you know, for our group, you know. But the one thing about the groups, when we vote these people in, you know, it's our responsibility that they become informed of what they're doing, or it's us who has dropped the ball, you know, and allowing a person to do a service commitment that they just can't handle, you know. And I'm back to, you know, a group is only as strong as its weakest link, you know. And sometimes its weakest link can possibly be the person with the most time, you know. Because sometimes, you know, and I always talk about me, I can get stuck in my ways. It showed this weekend when I came down here. I've been staying at the same hotel for the last 12 years, right? So, you know, I had a certain room that I go to and everything. You know, they made my room every year. And when I got there this year, they changed it. And they said, we upgraded you. And I looked at the paper. I said, this is a two-bedroom suite. I've always had a three. Right? Resistant to change, right? And they said, Bradley, you just have to look at it, and then we'll see. We gave you ocean view, all of that, right? I said, but you said it's an upgrade, right? Resistant to change. Man, let me tell you something. When they took me up there to that room, it was right across from the elevator, so I didn't have to carry my luggage. Had a washer, a dryer, 3 flat screen TVs. Oh, yeah. I see it. Okay. I said, yeah, I like this upgrade. Yeah. And see, that's how this thing works, right? Look, I didn't need to open the group conscience on that, right? Yeah. So, you know, life is real good, y'all, you know. And I always suggest, you know, I get all my sponsees involved in service. You know, I've been on H&I ever since I got here. You know, I was put in a step study group when I had 11 days clean. You know, I'm here to report. I've been fortunate enough to actually put the rest, a sponsor, a grand sponsor, and a great grand sponsor. You know, I put unrealistic expectations on myself when my sponsor passed and said, I'll have another sponsor by Monday, right? That's just not real, you know. But the preparation that had already been made when my sponsor was alive, you know, because I went through multiple cycles of the steps. We had studied every Monday for 8.5 years, a step a month. And what ended up happening, I had talked to him about letting another young man guide me through the process, you know, not sponsor me, but take me through another cycle of the step. And he thought it was a great idea. So when he passed, that's the gentleman I asked, but it took a minute because what happened was I started comparing him to my old sponsor, and that just doesn't work. And I went to my group and I raised my hand. I told him about the feelings that I was having, and they said, well, let's keep this real simple. Just give them a chance. God puts people in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Don't you try to hold on to the people that he put in for a reason, for a lifetime. And so I had problems letting go, I found out. You know, so I got something else to write about, you know. And that's what it is. The road to recovery is always under construction. So I'll say this in closing, and it's real simple. It makes no sense to come to a 12-step program and do no 12-step work. If you don't want to get better with you, then don't do no 12-step work. And your group cannot flourish because, see, that's how this works. When I get better, the group gets better. You know, and that's what it truly boils down to. So life is good today. I keep it real simple. I'm at peace. And the one thing I'm going to say is what I always say as I close. I said, I just want to do better today than I did yesterday. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Bradley again for sharing. Okay. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker. We have Anthony from Newcastle, Delaware.
All right.
Good morning, everybody. Grateful Recovering Addict. My name is Anthony. As always, first of all, I'd like to say I thank God for everything. For I truly thank God for being alive, for it's truly a blessing to be among the living. If you came from where I've come from and done some of the things it is that I've done, just being alive is a blessing. I would like to take this opportunity to extend a warm welcome to anyone that's new and say that just for the day, we never have to use again. As always, I say we with conviction because I believe no sooner than I start to think that I'm doing this thing by myself, I'm headed back to the crack house to make a decision between a rock, a straight shooter, and two matches. And just for the day, y'all told me that I'd never, ever have to live like that again, and I simply hold y'all to that by showing up. And I want to thank this convention for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. I want to thank Bradley for sharing his experience, strength, and hope. And I just want to, you know, I was sitting here and I was praying, and I was asking God, you know, what direction did you want me to go in? Because I'm talking about group conscious requires more than a vote. Okay, so I kind of want to segue into my topic by saying to anybody that's new and anybody that's listening to this CD is that the only requirement for membership in Narcotics Anonymous is a desire to stop using. That's the only requirement. That's our third tradition. But I just kind of want to let my spirit do what it's going to do, and I want God to do what he's going to do for me, because there's some things that me as a person, as an individual, have to be able to extrapolate to tell you how my spirit is feeling about what I've experienced in Narcotics Anonymous, if you don't mind. Because I understand a lot of folks got my business become your business based on how I live my life. Just because I'm telling you that I'm clean, sometimes a Narcotics Anonymous isn't enough. You have to kind of sort of like prove to people that you're living the program of Narcotics Anonymous. We'll come out of this book real quick. Now, I want you to understand, my topic is group conscious requires more than a vote. Now, I'm going to get to that topic. I want to share something about my experience in Narcotics Anonymous that makes the vote sometimes difficult. Coming out of Living Clean, the journey continues. It's a lot of good stuff in here, but there was one particular piece that I had highlighted, and I just kind of want to read it as it's written because it makes sense to me. To read this piece. It's on page 193 in Living Clean, the Journey Continues. And I wanted to segue into this piece, but it says, we are careful not to hold one another back or discourage one another from trying to follow our dreams. He says, after many years of sponsorship, one member said, I finally realized I wasn't going to keep anyone from doing what they really wanted to do. The question was whether they were doing or what they were doing to be comfortable sharing honestly with me about it, whatever it is. It says, when I set demands or limitations, I became one more thing for my sponsees to work around. We help each other to see clearly what we may be getting ourselves into, but we also listen for our own guidance. Okay? Now I'm going to segue into my topic. Because what I wanted to talk about, I want to talk about some of the things that separate and has separated me and us from the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I wanted to put out there in the Living Clean, the Journey Continues, talks about discrimination. You know, and discrimination don't necessarily mean discrimination because you're black, because you're white, because you're young. I'm talking about right within the group. I'm talking about how we discriminate one another. You know, when we share with one another in this program that we are here for the purpose of staying clean, but when it comes to group conscience, we can have a conscience among ourselves to say that that person ain't good enough to serve us. Huh? The reason that these things happen, and those people who listen to my CD and listen to the sound of my voice and they get all excited about what type of speaker I am a person who is speaking, which makes me a speaker. I am a person who reads the literature, which I'm sharing information, which makes me only put me in a position. I'm not trying to teach no fucking body. I'm trying to reach somebody. All I want to do is just try to reach somebody through my spirit and don't pay attention to my arrogance because that's just my makeup. I'm not trying to be you. I'm trying to be the authentic person that it is that I am. I'm loud, I'm boisterous, and sometimes people take that stuff and then they look at it as being arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm about the humblest person that you'll ever meet. But my spirit, man, because of what I'm experiencing in the room of Narcotics Anonymous, when I read this stuff, check out what it says. Check out what it says. Thanks, Brad. It says, group conscious is the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. You are not God when you walk into a group conscious and start making decisions based on what God is telling us, the direction that we need to go in. You know, about some of the decisions that need to be made based on how you feel about my personality. Have you checked my credentials? You know, have you checked out the things it is that I've done
to put me in a position to make me a part of what this group needs to become rather than taking a look at my personality. Sometimes I'm too black for some folk. Sometimes I'm too dumb for some folk. You know, sometimes I'm too smart for some folks. You know, sometimes, you know, it's just a whole lot of too much. And I go through a whole lot of painful stuff because it talks about in this tradition or this concept, you talked about the second tradition. But wait a minute, let me go there real quick and segue into this into this concept. It says in the second tradition, it says when we choose a member to serve us in some capacity, we exercise mutual trust. It says we trust the conscience. Huh? We done had a group conscience now. It says now that we're talking about inviting a member in to do something specifically, it said we trust the conscience that influenced our selection since it reflects our collective relationship with the loving higher power. You know, my way of talking is not that if I have to be, I can stand up here and say, you know, like my relationship with God is one that extends that trust to the members we have selected to serve. We have faith that they will apply the most complete information available and work to further the group's well-being and our fellowship's common welfare. Now, it sounded quite unappetizing. But when I look into what you guys have really given me to become who it is that I am, the sixth concept is very important because it says, what are some of the requirements that I need to bring? Like you were saying, we take this literature home and say, Anthony, we take that guide to local service, sit down and read it and bring back to the group what it is that you got out of reading, what it means to bring your conscience to a level of service. Sometimes, big storm, what the literature is saying, I'm very, very upset about some of the people who we have put in positions to guide us who don't have the experience of Narcotics Anonymous to be in a position because we don't understand what it says in the group booklet. It says sometimes the people that we put into positions seem to be popularity contests rather than an election of trusted servants who have the 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts in their life, who are going to step into applying spiritual principles into what it is that they're supposed to be doing. But because you're big time, all time Benny, you have the say so about who should be the fucking servants. But you don't want me to come to a convention and be myself. The first thing you do, you hear this CD or this tape and say, he ain't part of us. I smoked. All day, I believe in my spirit with all of the stuff that I went through to get here, that my spirit is just not going to be humbled in a humble shell to satisfy your ear. My spirit is not going to be humble. I've been through a whole lot to get here. And it's like, for me to be a part of service and just want to be a part of service, why is it that you are deciphering my personality rather than inviting me in to teach me? If it's humility you want me to understand, then teach me how to be humble without talking about me. God damn it, I'm sharing about it. And I'm never going to do myself a disservice to stand up here at the mic to satisfy you, because Narcotics Anonymous, what takes place is we front at the podium. I heard you share a whole lot of good stuff at the podium, but meanwhile, back at the ranch, I heard you say what I wasn't. Concept six. The exercise of group conscience is the act by which our members bring spiritual awakening of our 12 steps directly to bear in resolving issues affecting NA. NA. It's not about affecting you, Joker. It's about what issues is affecting Narcotics Anonymous. Are people really bringing issues to the floor affecting Narcotics Anonymous, or are you here bitching about what's affecting your group and what another group ain't doing? Why are we wasting area service time talking about an issue that another group is doing when we're supposed to be understanding that the fourth tradition talks about each group is autonomous except the matter where it affects other groups are in there as a whole? Is that group affecting Narcotics Anonymous as a whole? Because the second tradition says that if the group is not spiritual, it's not going to last long anyway. Why are we wasting our time worrying about what another group is doing, and why and how is it that we not following what we're supposed to be doing as far as the sixth tradition is about the spiritual guidance of what we're supposed to be doing for Narcotics Anonymous, and why do we, and I sit on my little soapbox and I'm humble and I listen to everybody say what it is they got to say. I don't say nothing. I don't say nothing because I'm humble and knowing how what I say, how it can affect somebody because I have an eighth step in my life. It says eighth step says harm can be defined as something said, done, or left undone. So I have to be careful what it is that I say based on what it is that I know. See, because sometimes I think what I know means more to you than how I approach you. The seventh step says, sit down, young man. You can allow other people to be wrong. The sixth concept is asking me to bring those steps and what I understand about those steps into the group conscious and understand that, Anthony, it's not about trying to attack other groups because GSRs are in the service structure. The service structure is made up of many different GSRs from different groups. Am I right? Am I right about it? Okay. So what make us think, when we don't understand this sixth concept, that we can sit as GSRs at a service level and start making decisions about other people's home groups? Huh? Huh? We're not up here to make a decision and put policies in place to dictate to other groups what they're supposed to be doing. We're up here to make decisions because the sixth concept is saying, is outreach full? How many people do we have on the information hotline? Are we paying the bills to keep the information line open? Why are you up here blowing up area service about an issue that you're having because you don't like the chairperson? My requirements of what I take to service structure. My sponsor has taught me and I've learned in this process, only the prepared speaker deserves the right to be confident. Group conscious requires more than a vote. It requires idealism. Group conscious requires more than a vote. It requires understanding. Do you understand exactly what it is that you're voting on? Or are you just showing up to service simply to blow off some steam because of what you heard is about to take place in service? So you want to show up to service now because of what you heard. Most people I find that show up to area service in that region is when people start stepping on their toes about what's about to take place in their home group. Then we posse up and I get all my sponsees to come to service with me to rally for a position. I ain't seen none of these jokers in 6 years. And all of a sudden, they show up at service and want to make a vote because they don't like the way things are going because of what they heard, not because they're in service. Hey, listen, man, I'm not here in Narcotics Anonymous sharing some bullshit experience that I'm not having, trying to please you. I'm talking about my experience of what it is that I experienced. Yes, I'm angry about it a little bit, but I'm okay with it because I'm clean. I'm cleaner than a mouth. It says, group conscious requires more than a vote. Sometimes it requires open-mindedness. Can I bring some open-mindedness to it? Wait a minute. The sixth concept says, as we study to apply spiritual principles in our lives, our decisions and actions increasingly become less motivated by self-interest and more motivated by what our conscience tells us is good and right. The man is right for the job. So what, he took your girlfriend when you was new? You ain't got no reason now to be voting him down because you got a vote. That's that's an issue that you got to deal with as far as 8 and 9. But don't be bringing that to the level of service. What part of the sixth concept have you missed? It says in the literature, it says probably what's good for the group is probably the good best for the individual, man. You sitting here, you done brought your clean time self up here, and you cutting people down simply because you haven't gotten in touch with your resentments because you don't understand what it means to forgive somebody. Yeah. You want to bring it to the service structure with your clean time badge on. Ain't did no work. Wait a minute. It says group conscious requires more than a vote. I ain't coming there with just with my spirit intact. I'm coming there just to vote you the fuck out. Sixth concept. It says the exercise of group conscious is the act by which our members bring the spiritual awakening of our 12th step directly to bear in resolving issues affecting NA. Once again, the development of the group conscious is an indispensable part of the decision-making process in Narcotics Anonymous. However, group conscious is not itself a decision-making mechanism. Just because you're having a group conscious doesn't necessarily mean that that's the decision-making mechanism of Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes we need to be guided. Thus, there's somebody's name in Narcotics Anonymous that is not anonymous, but we always use it. His name is Robert. Robert is a guy that when you're in service that you will hear about, and Robert has some rules. Robert has given us a set of rules that we should supposed to be using. Why? I'm glad y'all asked. Because Robert rules is based on making meetings meaningful. Robert rules is based on establishing conduct by giving us God. Sometimes we won't take this book home and read Robert's rules for what they simply mean, simply because I am addicted to you telling me what I should be doing. The sixth concept says, sit down and tap into your own conscience of what is right and wrong. Why are you still being blindsided by dependency? Huh? I'm still dependent on other people to make decisions for me because I'm afraid to make a decision for myself. But the sixth concept is saying, listen, it's more than a vote. What are you bringing? Are you bringing to the group your intent of emotion? I got this motion, but what's your intent? What's the intent behind the motion that you're making? Robert rules gives us an idea. You give me 5 minutes? Okay, he said I got 5 minutes. The other thing that Robert rules give me an opportunity to do is to bring my knowledge. Who, what, when, where, what, and how. You know, what, when. These are things that I have to think about when I'm understanding and tapping into the sixth concept of Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes I'm hard on myself because I am not robotic. I'm hard on myself because, you know, it talks about in the fourth tradition, right? Let me read it in the fourth tradition, because the sixth concept helps me understand that. To clarify the difference between the two, let's look at our personal lives. It says, people living spiritually oriented lives usually pray and meditate before making major decisions. Okay, now that's what it says in the sixth concept, but because I'm so caught up and tied to Jay Booty, that I will pray how I think Jay Booty will receive me before I will pray to understanding how God is going to receive me. So I'll fear my own prayers simply because I want to be accepted by you. It says, first, We look to our source of spiritual strength and wisdom. Then we look forward and chart our course. If we automatically claim that God has guided us every time we make a decision, whether or not we're actually invited God to influence us prior to making that decision, we fool ourselves. I am tired of being a fool, man. That's all I'm saying. When I come to area, when I come to region, you'll see me sitting in there, but you hardly ever see me making any noise because, you know, I understand what it talks about in that book. It says most people participate in the entity. Well, most people participate in the event and not the entity. I mean, in other words, most people will go to the dance, but they won't show up to the group that made the decision to have the dance. You know, I want to just participate in everything. And then the other thing it is that I find about myself being in here with the last two or three minutes it is that I have in Narcotics Anonymous, as I stand up here and show y'all exactly who I am and how I deal with what it is that I deal with in life. So you can imagine what my family go through when I'm going through stuff, you know, but I come in here and I'm able to get it off of my spirit and hopefully get the help it is that I need, because I'm always standing up here after the help, I'm asking for help. Don't think for 1 minute that I'm not standing up here asking for help, because sometimes I just don't even want to be around Narcotics Anonymous no more. You know, I don't even want to be here no more because of all of the prejudices and the racism and all of that different stuff that go on in the process. People move groups because they don't like this. People say this. And no, nobody say nothing about it. There's a big elephant in the room, but we'll look around the elephant and shit. You know, we'll look around the elephant and we won't deal with the issues, but yet we're sponsoring people, telling them to deal with their issues. But when we come to a group, we don't deal with the group issues the way it is that we should, because we lose focus of what we're really here for. I'm going to die trying to satisfy this man. The sixth concept of Narcotics Anonymous and Robert Rules is a very, very powerful tool when they're utilized the way that they should be utilized. And I employ any newcomer to get in touch with Robert Rules of Order, to get a guide to local service of Narcotics Anonymous. Read the concepts. Read the fourth concept and understand the fourth concept. Read the fifth concept and under delegated authority and understand the delegated authority and the concept. Read the first tradition and understand how important it is to unify with a joker. The fourth concept says, right, it is not easy to alienate an addict. It's real easy, I mean, to alienate an addict. Only thing, because we come in here looking for some kind of way not to fit in. I've been here 18 years and still trying to find a way that I don't fit up in this camp. I'm still looking for a way to I'm waiting for my aha moment. Aha! Aha! I'm waiting for my aha moment. But there are no aha moments for me in Narcotics Anonymous. If I just come in here and get real with y'all, you know, I can read, I can write. You know, now that I ain't smoking no more, there's a whole lot of things it is that I can do, I can comprehend. But one of the things that I find it hard to do is to be honest with other people who you know don't want to listen to the sound of your voice based on your personality. I know that. I've been here long enough to know who don't want to listen to me, who call me a preacher. They say they go, Malcolm, look at that motherfucker carrying them goddamn books. I hear what the fuck y'all say.
Right.
Then you don't want me cursing on the CD.
Right.
That's very unspiritual. I don't think we need that guy speaking at our Narcotics Anonymous group because he curses too much. I don't think I want that guy speaking because he sounds like a preacher. All of those things didn't keep me from smoking based on what you think about me. But all of it has kept me clean. I'm going to share this in closing. I've done some work here, and I like what you shared about your mother and all that good stuff, man, and I applaud you. My son just had a grandson last Wednesday, the 3rd of April, and my son invited me in to be a pop-pop. You know, so I'm a pop-pop. You know, so I got to be even more humble now. because I want to live long enough to be able to take him to a baseball game. Something that my father never did for me. I want to be humble now in my walk because I want to live long enough to be able to tell a grandchild to hold his hand to tell him that I love him. I want to live long enough to be able to have him on my lap and hold the steering wheel to teach him how to drive. So I got to be humble. I went to see him the other day with my man Sife. You know, he's in the hospital. He was born premature. They said he had bleeding on the brain, but I got a good God in my life that y'all had given me that I went to the hospital, and he was in a little incubator, and I prayed, and I said, you know, you're going to be all right. I said, as long as you're breathing, as a matter of fact, you're already all right. I said, sometimes, son, I said, I wish that the people in Narcotics Anonymous understood that as long as we're breathing, we're all right. We always have a chance to get better. Even though you may not like somebody today, you might see what God's going to do for them. Gracious sake. And he'll change them. As a matter of fact, he'll change what you think about them. You judge people and don't even know what they're going through in their lives based on what you see them look like up here. I see a lot of good folks out there. I see a lot of happy faces. You know what it took? I know what it took for y'all to get to this convention, and I'm happy that you're here. I didn't walk around here judging folks, man. I'm just happy it's all outdoors. My grandson is going to be all right. My son is going to be all right. My mom is going to be all right. My wife's going to be all right. My daughter's going to be all right. Everybody's going to be all right. You know why? You're going to be the fuck all right, too. You know why? Because I'm all right. I'm going to say this in closing. If you change and know that you've changed, give a friend a chance to catch up. My name is Anthony. Thanks for letting me share.
Man, thank you, man. That's good, boss. That's good, boss. Hold on to that one. That's good, boss. That's good.